Hey yo, and here we go with another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and I have with me the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And on the line is a very special guest for us. We're very excited to talk to this gentleman, but the best way probably to let everybody know who he is to get him to introduce himself. Sir, if you will please tell everybody who you are and why you're awesome.
My name is Jeff Scott Soto. I am the king of the stupid. How's that for an intro? Everybody's got a title now.
There you go. Great.
I'm going to get you that shirt.
King of the stupid. Threw you off there. Now we can really talk.
We can really talk. We've broken the ice.
See, exactly. I was just thinking that you were the king of all the projects, because you do all the projects.
Yeah, I do all the projects that nobody knows about, except for this new one. Sons of Apollo, it seems to be picking up a lot of steam, and of course, what we're discussing today is Wet. That's an actual project, whereas Sons of Apollo is a band. Wet has been something that we've taken our time and we've truly honed into what we want to actually present with this music and the sound that we created for this particular project, as I said. Because it's entwined with three other bands and three other sounds, it was interesting to take the levels of where those three different bands come from, Work of Art, Eclipse, and Talisman, and that's how we kind of formed Wet in the sense of it's got to have a little piece of everything we all come from for this to actually work.
No, that's interesting because, I mean, you are known for doing so many different projects, and like you say, I mean, not necessarily many people know about them, but is there something different that you try to bring to every one of them?
Well, yeah, I mean, if I didn't bring something different, then it would just be one big wash of just Jeff Scott Soto land. I absolutely adapt to whatever the musical situation calls for, and this is the time in my life that all the diversity and all the different things that I did through the years and kind of confuse people. It's like, is he a metal guy? Is he a pop guy? Is he a R&B guy? Is he a soul guy? The answer was always yes. It was never, I was pigeonholed as to one category. And now I get to truly flex those feathers, so to speak, for the sake of the art. You know, I get to do all the musical things that I've always wanted to do and actually get the diversity of all the different things that influenced me growing up that I didn't get to do in the early part of my career. Because obviously, in general, when you tap into something, the fans just want you to stay on that highway. And for me, that's not rewarding enough. I grew up listening to, one of my favorite bands of all time was Queen. And they were the kings of tackling so many different musical genres, so many different challenges that they put in front of them. And they not only tackled them, they knock those suckers down. Mm-hmm. And the best thing about that is the influence you get from that makes you want to do the same kind of thing. Nobody will ever come to the level that Queen was able to do exactly that. But, you know, I'm going to die trying.
That's actually very interesting because, you know, Queen, that was one band doing all that, trying all those different sounds and experimenting, whereas you're kind of, you know, satisfying that by trying with different bands and doing different things that way. Does that even make them even more amazing, just you know, to think of
when
it that
you
way?
See what they were able to achieve by doing all of that, absolutely. And because, again, it's a once-in-a-lifetime situation where you can get away with so many different genres and tap into so many different audiences. And I've been trying to do it for years, and I've barely scratched the surface in terms of people knowing who I am and getting to be that kind of household name. It's, you know, I'm 52 now. It's probably never going to happen at this level. But the best part about having all that behind me is that I can now just do what I want to do. And now it's accepted that people know that I'm not just going to be pigeonholed as the one thing. And they accept what I'm doing, which is great. It took a long time to get to that level. Even past the moaning and groaning of, you know, why are you doing this? You're more of this kind of singer. You're more of this kind of artist. It's like, no, don't tell me what I am. I know what I am. I know what I want to be. So just kind of let me go, and I'll show you.
Yeah, I mean, it blows me away because I mean, we've known about you and your career for, I mean, 20, 30 years, it feels like. I mean,
it's got to be, yeah.
It's got to be, and yeah. And we've been following you for that long. And it amazes me.
Because we're also old.
Yeah.
How sad is that? We what you're trying to throw me a compliment, but it's in that sense, it's like, you know what, you've been doing this a long time. Where the hell you been?
well, we've always known where you've been, so that's a positive, I guess.
That's what we're trying to say in a very awkward way.
But I guess what it amazes me that you're not better known in that case, because one of the things that I always look for from you is the fact that you just give this amazing sense of consistency, and I know that the vocals are always going to be great, they're always going to be strong, and they're always going to be soulful. And so, I mean, that means something to me as a listener.
Well, that means a lot to me because, you know, that to me has always been my goal. It's beyond the stardom and the fame and being recognized and being able to afford the lifestyles of the rich and famous. All that aside, to me, it was always about people accepting what I'm doing, my peers accepting me for who I am and what I am, and the fans actually loving what I'm doing. I don't care if any money comes from it. I care more about the reward of passing what I have to say and people liking it.
And as far as like the new Wet album goes, I mean, we just listened to it recently, and I mean, both of us are really huge fans of it. I mean, it speaks to us in that case, and I think that it's the songwriting just seems really good, and so maybe tell us a little bit about the album in that way.
Well, in general, you're talking about the new Wet album, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Sorry, I saw the dog running across the room. I thought he was chasing something. Well, this particular one, it wasn't like we've been honing in on the songs and it took the amount of years since the last one to write. We truly have been so busy and so focused on all the other things. You know, Work of Art, probably of the three bands on the Wet roster, are probably the least creative. Everybody's kind of doing other things, but Eclipse have really just, they've found their niche, and a lot of people are really jumping onto that band. And the last thing they want to do is kind of cut back and take a break from all that, because you want to strike while the iron's hot. And the same goes for me. I've been tapping into so many different things between Soto and now Sons of Apollo. There's no real time to actually say, hey guys, you know, why don't we sit and write and see what we can build up as far as a roster of songs. It wasn't until the record company reminded us, hey guys, it's been a number of years since we did an album. On the contractual level alone, it's time to start talking about it. But when we realize how much time truly had passed, we said, God, you're right. It's time to actually get back to work. And Eric is one of the stronghold members of Wet in terms of productions, in terms of wrangling and getting everything together for all of us. And he's the busiest of all of us. So it all starts with him and it all ends with him. You know, he gets the whole thing rolling and he finishes the whole ball of wax here. When it comes to the videos and the production of the album, the artwork, he truly stepped up, especially on this album. So it all started with him. He had a couple other people that he writes with that he'd been writing just numerous songs for other artists, and he said, listen guys, I really like to get these guys involved in the new Wet album, and if you let me roll, I've got some great ideas. And it really truly started from Eric, and then it filtered our way. I wrote less on this album, more so because of my busy schedule, but the main thing was Eric was just on such a roll, we just kind of let him do it, and the songs are just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, we think the album is fantastic, honestly. And one of the things that kind of I noticed was thematically, the lyrics are kind of, there's a lot of defiance in what you're saying, and in the songs kind of seems like a defiant stance towards many things. Is that something you were kind of aware of as you're making it, you're recording it, or is that just kind of my perception, do you think?
I think it's more your perception. We didn't really put too much thought. When you start thinking too much about what you're supposed to be delivering, it can become a mess. Sometimes it becomes genius, but we never think too much. All we do is when an idea is being turned over and we're even just demoing something. If it doesn't fit, we wouldn't even complete it. There's no battle of, well, this song's not good enough, but let's just put it at the end of the album and just kind of sweep it under the rug. We just don't do that. I think just the focus was just there once the songs just started turning out. And again, Eric was sending me song after song after song. Some of them had lyrics, some of them didn't. And he said, you know, if you want to jump on these, it'd be great. There were a couple others. I read the lyrics. I'm like, man, I would have never written like this. And I'm glad somebody else actually took the liberties, because it something special came out of that. I'm singing somebody else's vibe in somebody else's joint. But on that tip, it gave me a challenge to kind of make it sound like I wrote it.
Now, we've talked to a lot of different singers, and we've definitely talked a little bit about the idea of the freedom of just being able to kind of go in and sing somebody else's lyrics. Is like, how do you feel about that?
Well, in so many walks of life, I mean, what I've been doing, you know, for the past 33 years, of course you're going to have, especially in the beginning stages, you're going to have more of having to do other people's things than having your own. You're not born a Paul McCartney or John Lennon. It takes years to hone in on being a writer and what's good and what's considered good or what's considered accepted. And so I went through many years of, you know, trial and error, hit and miss. I mean, even my days with Yngwie Malmsteen, I listened to some of that stuff. I'm like, oh, how did I come up with that? Or why did I come up with that? But it just takes practice. It takes a lot of years of experimenting with other people, writing with different bands, and et cetera, across the board. And then you kind of learn and hone in on exactly what you consider good or what you actually consider other people might find good. And yeah, it's through the years I've sung many. I mean, even as a cover band singer, you know, for a lot of years when I was starting my career, you got to sing other people's words. You got to learn how to interpret other people's words to be able to then interpret your own.
Because you've worked with a lot of amazing guitarists. Is there like a secret that you have for kind of dealing with the personalities, I guess?
Yeah, I guess my mom taught me how to just be a very patient and understanding person, especially to guitar players, as you say. They are a special breed. Singers can be as well. I mean, I never fell into that whole LSD lead singer's disease thing. I've always been pretty grounded and humbled and hungry and all of the above. I just never fell into the trappings of being a rock star and just being a complete diva, trying to, you know, doing tantrums to get my way. To me, there's no room and there's no time for that. There's too much work to do to have all that other crap in the way. So
you can swear. Go ahead.
What's that?
You can swear. Go ahead. In fact, we encourage
you. No, I can't. I didn't know if I could or not. Yeah, but so for the most part, that patience and that the level of not tolerating myself to become that, I guess this is where the tolerance grew, and I built a force field on how to deal with get the special guitar player's needs. And I'll go nameless on that, because there are some great ones out there and there's some pretty big divas out there just the same.
I don't think you need to go into too much detail. People can kind of look at your at your discography and kind of figure it out, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. And again, you know, I've been through so many bands and so many. It's kind of like a relationship. If you look at my career as a relation on a relationship level, I'm probably the biggest whore out there, because I have to do what makes me happy musically, but sometimes it doesn't complete the picture with other people. So you're not going to stay in a marriage or relationship that it's not. It's not mutual. So you have to move on and just keep finding that niche.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is that obviously people still appreciate that, because I feel like you must be number one on the speed dial of a lot of different bands, but because you do a lot of guest appearances as well. I mean, so it's great, because we know that we can always hear your work.
Well, and thank you. And again, that comes from the years of just really wanting to make a name for myself. Again, beyond just making a living, which, again, I'm very lucky. I keep saying again, I'm very lucky and I'm very humbled that I can make a living, and I don't have to have a day job. This is my day job. This is my night job. But the fact that it's been a lot of years that I've confused people as to why is he in this band, why is he in that band, why is he in so many bands. It comes down to wanting to just do something that means something to me, and not just do something for the sake of paying my bills and for the consistency of just pleasing fans, just for the sake, you know, for the money end. It's got to be musically rewarding, and it's I have no words for it. It is what it is, and I just continue doing that until I find that one thing that kind of pleases both categories, where I can make a living and I can actually do something that makes sense to me.
And you talk about this making a living and being a singer, and that's great. But one of the things we actually wanted to ask you about was optical sound. What is that, and what is your role with that?
Well, it kind of fell into my lap accidentally. I when I started the band Soto a few years ago, I went through like four different managers, and the vision just wasn't there. The ideals weren't there in terms of what was necessary, what needed to be done. It was just one after the other, and in between those managers that were going in and out, I was taking the affairs and the matters in my own hand, because I've been doing this for so many years. I know what's necessary. I know what needs to be done. And when they're not being done, I end up doing it anyways, and I'm paying these guys commissions for doing all the work myself. And it was after the fourth manager, the band actually sat down with me and they said, "Why do you keep looking for new managers? Everything you do is better and more, it's more in the focus of what the band is needing. So why don't you just manage the band?" And I knew I couldn't do it by myself, because it just gets too harrowing, especially on the road. I don't want to manage the band and have to focus on singing, fronting, and set list interviews and all that. It's too much. So at the same time, one of my dear friends, Christopher Hines, he had the same level of annoyance, and he would come to shows with me. He would see bands being mistreated or just things not getting done, the obvious things, the things that any monkey could do, anything, and they weren't getting done. And he said, "You know what? I love a lot of bands, and there's a lot of people say, you know what to do. You should actually get into this." And he started his own management company called Optical Sound because of that. And it was during that same time I took over the affairs of Soto. I said, "Would you partner with me, co-manage Soto with me, and then I come in with you, and we, you know, I can actually be more of a contacts guy since I've been in this business for 33 years, and Chris is more of the business head and the accounting guy, and it's a great partnership. It's working great so far. We manage a band from the UK called Bigfoot. Their debut came out on Frontiers Records, and they're doing a lot of great things this year, especially. There's going to be a lot of roadworthy things for them, and we've got something next year that we can't wait to announce as well. That so." On the business level, all the things that I've been necessarily having to learn, I'm now utilizing with my band Soda, and now with the band Bigfoot and other bands we plan on picking up for the roster.
Yeah, I can only imagine that it must be a lot to learn and to try to pick up, and especially I think in this day and age now, where it seems like so much of it is grassroots and DIY, that this is just the way that a lot of bands, especially established bands, have to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see a lot more of that happening. I even Corey Taylor, I see, you know, from Slipknot, he's got his own management, and a lot of the bigger bands are going over to their roster there, which is great. It's great to see that we're kind of taking it back. All the years that we were forced to learn the business because the business was basically taking advantage of us, now that we understand how it all works, instead of delegating to somebody else to actually take advantage of us, we're now actually keeping it within the forces of, in the confines of what we're here to do.
So I wanted to ask about you as a singer, because the idea that you've played with all these bands and now you go on tour, how is it that you remember all the lyrics to each individual song? And is that like, do you have to practice for like an individual act? Like if you're touring with Wet, is it something? If you're touring with TSO, I mean, they're all so radically different.
It's so sad that I have to admit this. I've fallen into the category of having to do the teleprompter thing at this point, because if you look at the body of work, forget about the amount of songs. Just start with the amount of albums I've sung on. Start with the amount of records, solo records, and then you add the band records, then you add the projects. My head is a sieve in terms of trying to remember anything that I've done in the past 15 years. I can sing the entire first Boston album, every Styx album, every Queen album, every Van Halen album from the early mid-70s into, say, the early 90s. But my own stuff, I can write it, sing it, hear it for 6 months solidly, and I'll be like, "What's that first line?" It's sad. I wish they came up with something that, in the terms of hard drive, like you can go in and just remove certain things, the unnecessary things of your hard drive, so you can put the ones that you need in there. I wish you could do that with the brain. I wish I could just remove all all these unnecessary items so I can put the things that I actually need to remember while I'm going on tour. So yeah, it takes me a good solid maybe 2 or 3 weeks. If we're doing a solid tour of maybe even 6 weeks, about 2 weeks of that is me needing lines or just something, even if one word gives me, oh yeah, that's how that verse goes or how that chorus starts. Once I get that going, then the mental memory does kick in, and it's come to that, fellas. It's so sad.
that's awesome, though. But so now, when you talk about going on tour, how is it that you decide what's going on tour and when? Because I know that Wet does selected shows, and then I know you're going to go out on tour with Sons of Apollo, and then TSO always does a fairly large touring schedule.
Yeah, it's really difficult to say in terms of, well, I'm sorry, it's not difficult. As long as everything's done in advance, I know that every year TSO Machine's going to pretty much consume my life. And everything, if everything is done with enough notice and advance notice, it's easier to put it all together. There's no way you can put me out there and throw something that's going to be coming up in 2 or 3 months. It's because everything is already solidly discussed and confirmed and scheduled, and especially Sons of Apollo. That's one of the things when we were talking about taking this thing on the road, et cetera, we had to tell everybody, please take everything off for 2018, because there's no way we can go around cones with everybody's schedule if we're going to try and make this thing actually work. And it's just all about discussions and scheduling and making sure that we're on the same picture here. And this is why Wet doesn't do any touring, because of all the other things that we all have going on. It's near impossible to find a pocket of time that we're not busy, even though we'd love to actually tour and promote this. We're promoting something that we're not truly going to follow up on, if you know what I mean, in the sense of, this is not our mainstay band. This is not where we all come home and this is our band. This is something where we get together every few years and we have a great time creating this music. And of course, we'd love to do more shows and probably will next year. But at this point in time, there's just absolutely no time to schedule anything in.
Now, we're both huge fans of TSO and Sabotage and their music. Now, Paul O'Neill recently passed, and I know that you've worked with TSO for a while. I'm just wondering if you have any memories or any thoughts of Paul that you could share with us.
I have incredible memories. I have some things that the guy truly was a cross between Jesus Christ and Santa Claus. he was a miracle man, and there are levels of his humanity that I wouldn't want to share to the public, because it would almost sound like I'm bragging about him, or that he only did it so people could brag about him. I would rather save and retain those memories as just somebody that I learned a level of humanity from, as opposed to just saw an act of kindness. He was one of the most giving, kind human beings. And again, I have so many stories and so many memories of this man in the 10 years that I got to work with him. I truly feel like it's a lifetime of influence that he brought into my life. And it's something I will cherish and I will pass on. I will pay that forward in my own life, because to me, it's always been my personal, I guess, my personal goal to pass on positivity. There's so much negativity in the world as it is. Even if you pass on a little positivity, it kind of helps dwarf it in droves. And it's something I got to see hands on with the guy. It was forget about the music side. I mean, he was a genius on that end, but as a person, I just learned so much more of being a person. And he really was more, he was like my professor. He was an education giver. He was, man, I start talking about it, I get all choked up.
Were you aware of the health issues he was having?
I was not. None of us were.
None of you were.
We all worried about his eating habits and his sleeping habits, because he was a workhorse. He was nonstop, and his vision and his dream took a lot of time for it to work out, and you know, God bless him for the level of commitment that he put into everything. But as far as, we had no idea that we had to concern ourselves with something that would actually take his life.
Well, one thing that I always appreciated about TSO TSO doesn't seem to come through Calgary anymore, which is a shame, but was the fact that everybody always came and sat out and signed autographs afterwards, and so I did get a chance to talk with you a couple of times, and that was great. But you know, I always appreciate that from a fan perspective is the fact that you're available, and it makes it seem like you're trying and making a difference.
You know, it truly does come from a level of humanity, and I'm just a person. I'm a person that's lucky enough to do what I do for a living. I was graced with a voice that I could actually utilize for something I truly love. I love music. It is my life, and that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. The whole diva, ego, rock star thing, it doesn't matter. And to me, that's something I've always preached. That's something I've always lived by. And to actually have people like that surrounding me, it's amazing.
Our time is getting kind of low, but I actually woke up this morning. The very first thing I saw, I picked up my phone, and it was actually a tweet from you on the passing of Stephen Hawking. And
right.
I'm wondering if you just had anything you wanted to add onto that.
Well, again, when you have people who made such a difference in their lives and changed, you know, a lot of they added to our personal lives. They added to world changes. People like Steve Jobs or Albert Einstein or even Elon Musk. These are game changers. And somebody like Stephen Hawking, who was given 2 years to live when he was diagnosed, made it to this age and made it his life's goal to continue his genius and his level of genius, and didn't let that handicap stop him. That's a pioneer. That's somebody that demands and commands respect. And I'll never, ever get to that level. I'll never leave behind that kind of legacy. But you have to pay homage to these people because they made a difference. They left a change. They left a difference in this world.
Well, I can tell you, this conversation has inspired me quite a bit. You're awesome. This is a little part of our show. This is the wrap-up part here. We give you a chance to do something. It's a segment we call Plug Your Shit.
Okay.
Please, go ahead. Plug your shit.
Plugging my shit. JeffScottSoto.com, Facebook.com/JeffScottSoto, Twitter.com/JeffScottSoto. Jeff Scott Soto, Google it, look it up, love it, listen to it, share it. That's all I can tell you.
Awesome. Well, Jeff Scott Soto, you have been an amazing guest, and we appreciate you giving us this time. And we do wish you all the best in the future and hope that you'll be on again sometime.
Thank you, guys. Much obliged. I'll just say this. I say this to everybody that interviews me or willing to interview me. I thank you from the bottom of my heart to give me this opportunity to get my word out there and just be able to spread that love, because without you guys, I couldn't even do half of what I'm doing out there just the same.
Well, we've been there for the first 30, so hopefully we'll be there for the next 30.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We'll do it
thank
again
you
because you got, what did we cover, 1%?
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
One
of
one,
I think. We got a lot of talking to do, for boys.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.